So first let me just mention my co-authors, Liz Carter, Susan Rhee, and Steve Shaw. They contributed greatly to this presentation, particularly Liz, who did a lot of the statistical work I'll be showing, and Susan for the eddy covariance data. So high temperatures and maize yields. So evidence for impact. The third National Climate Assessment for climate change impacts estimated that maize yields in the Corn Belt have been negatively affected by night temperatures, and this was in, I believe, 2010, 2012. So that was their estimate, and I'm not sure exactly on what that was based, but there are a fair number of literature reports that have reported that high night temperatures can negatively impact maize yields in different mechanisms, but they're quite solid in showing an impact. The importance, I think, is pretty clear to everybody here because of projected increases in temperature. And again, the third National Climate Assessment estimated that there'll be an increase in their, quote, hot nights, which are nights where the minimum temperature is above 98% of the minimum temperatures from 1970 and 2000. So the mechanisms, there are a few reports on that increased respiration as a result of temperature, higher night temperatures, could be reducing growth potential. They're a bit, at least the ones I've seen, are a bit equivocal on that, and it's not entirely clear, but they're out there, and there are a couple that do indicate reduced growth potential. Probably more numerous and maybe more solid mechanism that's been identified as accelerated phenological development, resulting in essentially reduced cumulative incident solar radiation, which will impact growth. So what we did then was we wanted to look at the impact of night temperatures. And to do that, and I should mention this is part of a larger study that was done on both irrigated and rain-fed maize and the impacts of temperature on yields of irrigated and rain-fed maize. So we used yield data from the National Corn Growers Association from their yield contest data. These were both irrigated and rain-fed classes from Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri. The advantage is we had a lot of yield data to use, 3,300. They were done under optimal growing conditions, so we were hoping to kind of isolate a climate impact. And also we had data on management, which was useful. In particular, we had planting date and cultivar, which allowed us to define growth stages approximately. And so we were able to look at some of the impacts by growth stage. The one drawback is the data were by county. And so in order to match up weather data, we had to use the nearest weather station to a given county, based on both proximity, but also on whether they were in the same average GD growing degree day zone. The methodology we used to analyze these data was a mixed effects model, and that was because of the nature of the data. And the fixed effects were the management data and the climate variables. So this is the results from the irrigated analysis. I'll just quickly point out the daytime indices didn't show any impact at all. So we had no, and these are KDD is killing degree days. That's degree days above 29, where the maximum temperature was above 29 degrees C. And then a couple other indices that have been identified in literature as thresholds for damage. Didn't see any impact of the daytime indices. But we did see an impact of night temperature, average night temperature, and solar radiation, and they acted opposite. So higher night temperatures, lower yields, higher cumulative solar incident solar radiation, higher yields. So this was interesting. So we followed up on this and basically identified that it's cumulative solar radiation that shows the most direct control on yields in irrigated maize for the time period we were looking at, which I forgot to mention is 2005 through 2012. And so here you can see yield as a function of time, year, with the orange being radiation and the blue being yield. So you can see they match up quite well. This shows kind of the whole range of data that we had. This is average night temperature and cumulative incident solar radiation. Yield values are color-coded, and generally, the higher the cumulative solar rad, the lower the night temperature, the higher the yields. So they were about equal in magnitude, but when you accounted for solar radiation in the statistical model, there was no significant impact in night temperature. This indicated to us that the likely mechanism was through reduced accelerated phenological development. This just shows by growth stage, showing that the main impact of average night temperature, this is nighttime temperatures above 26 degrees C, solar radiation, it mainly occurred during grain fill, and this is, I think, consistent with the literature on these. So going to the rain fed, much more complicated story, but there are indications of an impact. This slide is courtesy of Jeff Olenek from Purdue, showing average minimum temperature in Tippecanoe County versus Indiana corn yields. And you can see, excluding 2012, which was a severe drought year, that there's a pretty good linear relationship showing higher yields with lower nighttime minimum temperatures. With our data, we saw somewhat of a similar relationship, quite a bit of variability, 2012 being a low year, but again, higher yields with lower minimum nighttime temperatures for July. So we have some indication that there is a relationship. The problem is that when you run the model, all climate variables turn out to be significant, so it's difficult to kind of separate out nighttime temperature and solar radiation. To do that, though, a little bit, we tried by doing principal component analysis of the seasonal climate variables, and PC1 and PC2 explain most of the variability, and that's because these climate variables are very highly correlated with each other. But the key things are the vectors for precip and VPD are opposite each other and about equal magnitude. So higher precip, lower VPDs, higher VPDs, lower precip, and you'll see that the daytime temperature indices tend to trend towards the higher VPD, lower precip line. So those are all correlated. So it makes it difficult to then, and I should mention the nighttime indices also trend a bit towards that line also. So it's hard to separate out nighttime temperature from potentially water stress impacts or low precip impacts. But you'll see that the yields tend to, the lower yields are generally segregating in this side of the plot, and the higher yields at the higher precip, lower VPD, lower temperature. So difficult to separate out, but one thing we can do is to try to look at, well, can we identify, at least rule out a mechanism? So we looked at, did a preliminary look at respiration to see whether that might be a factor. And so what we did is we had a flux tower set up in one of our research fields this past year, and we analyzed the data using eddy covariance methodology and tried to identify CO2 fluxes, nighttime CO2 fluxes. And I should mention that we collected a lot of data. Most of it we had to throw out because it didn't meet the assumptions of the eddy covariance methodology, and that's because of the nighttime conditions. But we were able to get data, and I should mention this was in a maize field that was managed as a commercial field. So this is nighttime temperature, and this is the hourly CO2 flux in micromoles per meter squared second. The day of year goes from 190 to 230. That's about the time from canopy closure to the time when senescence began. So you can see that, and I should mention, so canopy closure, there is soil respiration going on. We were able to get an estimate of that, and averaged about 2.5 micromoles per meter squared second, just so you know that's in there. But we didn't see any response, really, to temperature over a range from 15 to 25. So this indicated to us that Whatever was going on in terms of the impact of nighttime temperature, it probably wasn't via impact on respiration, at least from preliminary analyses. We did notice that the CO2 flux has been by half-hour increments from midnight to 5:30 in the morning, and then from 21:50 to midnight. And you can see generally stable later in the night, but early there was a slight increase in respiration. So we thought, well, maybe we're missing something, and maybe if we looked at the amount of substrate represented by the CO2 flux, daytime CO2 flux, photosynthesis, net photosynthesis, might be impacting respiration, and we weren't picking it up. But when we examined that, we didn't see any relationship between the rate of photosynthesis during the day or the amount of photosynthesis and the amount of respiration at night. So again, this kind of indicated to us that although we can't necessarily identify a mechanism in rain-fed maize, it doesn't appear to be through increased respiration that we're getting impact on yield. So just to summarize then, yield impact in irrigated maize of night temperature appears to be through accelerated phenological development and therefore reduced cumulative solar radiation. And in rain-fed maize, hard to tell because of the collinearity among the climate variables, but the eddy covariance data suggests that nighttime respiration. This is, particularly with rain-fed data, this is a kind of ongoing study, so we'll hopefully be getting more information on this over the next year or so. Well, thank you.
We have 3 minutes for questions.
Yeah. Yeah, so the average, for the yield data, we were doing just the average from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. We did look at indices. So we did look at, for example, nighttime temperatures above certain thresholds, and the results were basically the same. For the eddy covariance data, that was overall temperatures, the bin data. Is that's correct, Susan? Yeah.
One more question.
Sure.
The other question I had was because of high nighttime temperatures, it could be cloudiness, right? Or high cloudiness.
Yes.
And could that be the reason for lower solar radiation, not the shift of the chronological phases, but because it's cloudy?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, and we did look at that, but we didn't identify any relationship between those. No, but that was a good observation. Yeah.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Have you considered nighttime respiration? Is there any translocation of photosynthate that's been accumulated? Could that be being burned off or?
That's what we were wondering, and that's why I say it's kind of preliminary, and the eddy covariance data don't show that, but it's something that we've thought about, and I think we need to try to collect more data on. I believe Jeff Volonek he's interested in this, and I think they have a long-term study site at Purdue, and I believe he's going to try to get more data on trying to identify whether that might be the case or not. Nancy.
Sort of broadening the idea, there are a number of crops where it's pretty well identified that nighttime temperatures will go into the yields. Is it sort of common, the mechanism that's assumed to have? I mean, I'm not sure which they are, but I was thought this one was going to be worried about it. Anyway, so.
Yeah, good question. I can't say I'm familiar enough with other crops to know. Certainly, to the extent crops respond to temperature through phenological development, to the extent to which that is accelerated, and you reduce cumulative incidence solar radiation, you're going to affect, it's a pretty solid relationship between solar radiation and growth. So I would expect that that might be the case, but I don't know for sure. Yeah. You mean the nighttime canopy temperature? In our eddy covariance work, is that what you found? I'm not sure how you get at.
Long way.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.